Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our UFO show. We're going to do another show on Dulce tonight. That's the mysterious place where supposedly an ET underground base is located. Others say, well, it's a black operational base. Maybe both. Anthony Sanchez is here with us. He's fast becoming an expert on Dulce and underground bases, as far as that goes. And Anthony Sanchez always has new developments, so welcome to the show. Anthony, you're doing great work. I understand you're coming back to Dulce in February, and we will have coverage of that, of course. Maybe even a report from you direct from the top of the Aquila Mesa. How does that sound? Every time I talk to you, you got a new thing going on. I guess one thing leads to another, and you are like a junkyard dog, actually, in following these leads, and you've come up with some mind-boggling stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. In October, I was in Dulce. We had a conversation back at that time when I had discovered some of the U.S. government property up top the Archuleta Mesa, and then my health was afflicted immediately, when that happened. I'm still undergoing a lot of ongoing symptoms because of what happened at that time. But since then, the whole Dulce thing exploded, as you know. We made this discovery, and we got a lot of news coverage because of it. I got another book that's coming out that's related to Dulce. In the book UFO Highway, we made the connection between Dulce, the underground facility at Dulce, and the Cabezon Wackenhut underground facility here in California. God, Jerry, there's just so many things going on right now. I wanted to talk with you about, predictions for 2012. I want people to keep in mind that this is the year of the dragon that is approaching. It's 2012, and it's going to be a very special time. I'm hoping that people reevaluate one of the quatrains from Notre Dame, specifically Century 6 Quatrain 97, where it states at 45 degrees, the sky will burn. Fire approaches the great new city. Immediately, a huge scattered flame leaps up when they have to have verification from the Norman. Now, that quatrain indicates that it will be preceded by the coming of the third Antichrist from the east, the king of the Mongols. And when I hear that, that just gives me, shivers up my spine, because I'm thinking about the death of Kim Jong-il and the ascension of his son, Kim Jong-un. And, them being from North Korea and that whole area, I'm thinking that there's a direct correlation. My new book that's coming out is Project Leonid, where I'm talking about this multifaceted weapon system that's being designed by a group of defense contractors and one Japanese company in particular, Hitachi Ltd., specializing in the development of satellite technology. That in 2007... the Chinese demonstrated their ability to blast satellites out of the sky. That was a direct signal to the United States and its allies that whatever it is they're building, which we know is Project Leonid, the abilities to, counteract that effort, which is underway now. There's just so much going on. China, we know, is hiding a massive nuclear warhead arsenal within a vast network of tunnels, 3,000 miles of tunnels to be exact, that was discovered by an investigative group out of Georgetown University. Students, along with the Professor Philip A. Carver, who was a former top Pentagon strategist, what they did was that they identified locations of tunnels coming through hundreds of Chinese military journals, documents, as well as television reports and satellite images. This is getting really scary. Just the other day, there was a shipment from Europe intercepted to China of Patriot missiles. So, again, there's a lot of things going on. I have a lot of information that I've compiled since 2008, and that's going to be coming out in my new book, Project Leonid.
Anthony, I know you have a new website about the new book, and we'll give that here in a little bit for the audience to check out. You've been way ahead of most people on the technology and the developments and the existence of these underground tunnels, bases, a system connecting one base to another, and all of them subterranean, and some maybe extraterrestrial. Most are really black projects. I mean, for instance, in Canada, for instance, in China, you were way ahead of the news on finding out that that they have a tunnel system, a gigantic one.
That's right. About a week before all this information came out about the Georgetown University report, I had contacted you about it. And then the day that I put out an official press release about Project Leonid, and I pretty much detail in a synopsis the Chinese military, how they're under control of the New World Order, and how they completed construction in the Chengdu district of what is the mother of all underground bases. I talked about that in my press release, and the very next day, the Associated Press releases the information regarding the three-year study that's causing controversy on Capitol Hill right now. They are suggesting that there are 3,000 miles of underground, tunnels in China that are being stockpiled with both conventional and nuclear weapons. When you think of the implications, that's huge. Because if they're preparing for nuclear war, guess what's going to be protected for use in the aftermath? Well, 3,000 miles worth of conventional and nuclear weapon arsenals that they have down there. So, this is just really getting out of hand.
We're talking with Anthony Sanchez, who has written a book called UFO Highway. Incredibly great read. Get comments all the time. In fact, one of our producers is reading the book right now. She says she can't put it down, Anthony. I get reports from people, the public. Interesting thing. Have you heard about this? Just north of Phoenix, up in a little town, as you go up Highway 93 up toward Nevada, they insist about every evening around 7:30 or so they hear a train. And the only problem is there's no tracks there. It's underneath the city, evidently. And someone drew a line about it and says it goes right up to Area 51. Maybe it's so. I mean, you've done a lot of great work, and we'll get into some of that here in a little bit, about the underground tunnel system and the railroad system underneath the ground. It's top secret stuff.
Absolutely. There's a state-of-the-art maglev tunnel, and there's even conventional railway, but mostly maglev, running across the entire country. Listen, if the Chinese over the last decade and a half can build 3,000 miles of underground tunnels, what makes you think that since the 1960s we don't have our own underground tunnels? I absolutely believe that people all over the country are hearing, low resonating hums. These are hums that are indicative of ongoing rail systems or construction of systems. Listen, I got a whole section in my book which talks about the signs of, from the perspective of being biblical, of the signs that people will be hearing, analogous to the trumpets, the sounds of the trumpets coming from the heavens. I think what these people are hearing is just a foretelling of, this forthcoming, cataclysmic event, on a geopolitical spectrum with regards to the Chinese. There's a lot of stuff that needs to come out, and I'm already putting that information up at projectleonid.com, ufohighway.com in the chat room. I'm sharing that with you and a whole bunch of other friends that I have within our circle whom I share information with. Janet Saylor's even doing some research for me at the moment of Ask Me right there in New Mexico. So I'm telling you, Jerry, in about 6 weeks you're going to be seeing the first release of this book, Project Leonid, and it's going to be filled with information. It's going to be very controversial, and I think people are going to be shocked.
You know, Anthony, it's pretty much a matter of public record. There's a lot of things going on underground, experimental things, in both New Mexico and Colorado. I mean, you have Cheyenne Mountain. Any place you go out west, the government has been there for some time with secret things, including development of the original atomic bomb.
Yeah, the other thing, too, Jerry, is people need to remember that right there at Denver International Airport, that is the continuity of government center. that's where the Senate is going to be shipped, the Congress, the executive, all the executive, members of the executive branch, the executive office. That's what Denver International was truly built for. And everybody knows that. And, Governor Ventura, did that excellent report on the underground facility that's there. We know it's there. There's proof that it's there. And that is connected with all of the, the major hubs right there, Edwards Air Force Base and all the other areas. So that I detail in the map that I have. And a lot of people are asking me, at UFOHighway.com where I have that map that shows all the locations, and they want to know, are those the only locations? Heck no, those are not the only locations. There are so many more locations throughout the United States. I just did not have enough time to put them up there, and it's still in progress.
Now, Anthony, you've done a lot of research on these underground bases and facilities, and you sent me several, three different graphs, maps, actually. Spent a lot of time going and doing this. Graphic number one shows that what I guess Anthony thinks is a definite proof, and it appears that it probably is, that there is an underground base at Dulce. Evidently, two men, according to Anthony, one who wants to remain anonymous is known as Jay, and the other one also wants to be anonymous, K, have independently provided more or less the same information. So I guess that kind of corroborates it. And looks like it's correlated, their data, with documents from the U.S. Geographical Survey. And they show that on December 10th, 1967, there was a 30-ton, megaton atomic explosion underground. It caused a 5.10 earthquake in the area around Dulce. It was known by the name Project Gas Buggy, and originally it was to use atomic weapons to free up natural gas. At least that was the cover story. Now, these maps have blue and red on them, and some of them are used different color codes. For instance, the red is for multiple explosions, and the blue is for just one explosion. And the earthquakes were happening on a regular basis from January 23rd, 1966 through December 10th, 1967. Sanchez has come up with a map that shows even doors into the mountains around there. And all of this activity happened within 50 miles in a circular pattern around Dulce. Now, you've had some problems going to Dulce. You have what I think, Anthony, is a biological attack. Tell me, how are you feeling?
No, what's been happening is I've been undergoing a level of harassment that has just been completely outrageous. As you know, after making that discovery up at the Archuleta Mesa, I was violently ill. And again, I want to apologize to you and to everybody else who's listening to me right now about my voice. This is a result of the paralysis that I received as a result of, going up there to Dulce.
Yeah, how are you doing now? Are you better?
The pain is gone, but the paralysis persists, and it seems to be spreading to my left shoulder. So it's from the very top of my head all the way down to the bottom of my left shoulder, and it seems to be, it seems to be encroaching towards my arm area, my upper arm area, just beneath my shoulder, and I'm getting really nervous about that. So, but there's nothing really I can do about it except, I'm seeing specialists, and they have confirmed that I have been, subjected to some type of a, neurotoxin, but they don't know what. The best bet at the moment is that it could possibly be Pterotontridae, which is the pufferfish. I'm sure most of your audience is familiar with the pufferfish. It's the poison from the pufferfish. And again, it would be a nanofraction. As a matter of fact, an operative from Australian intelligence came forward and told me that based on what I'm, you know, exhibiting, he said it's not, sir, it's not the Bell's palsy. I didn't have a stroke, obviously. I'm exhibiting symptoms of a nanofraction concoction of two things, the pufferfish venom and curare, which is a South American plant toxin. And he says that a lot of these intelligence, you know, these like CIA operatives and whatnot, you know, around the globe, all these different, you know, intelligence agencies, their operatives are known to use the nanofraction of this concoction, and it seems like that's what I'm exhibiting symptom-wise. So, you know, I'm dealing with it. You know, the pain, thank God, has finally subsided. The pain has gone away, but the paralysis is still there, and I don't know if it's permanent. They don't know if it's permanent, and I'm, you know, mm-hmm. we're working on that.
Unfortunately, Anthony, this is much more common than we think. These secret alphabet agencies actually just committing murder. Using biological weapons or things like you mentioned that you suspect happened to you. I've suspected that they've attacked me a couple of times biologically. And I know quite a few people who have suffered and many. Yeah, Dr. Dan Burrish even, remember, he went home to his apartment and there was somebody behind the door and they stuck a needle, a hypodermic needle, into his neck, and bang, he passed out. Fortunately, he was able, his mother was around, came by, and took him to Desert Springs Hospital, or he probably wouldn't be here. And I think some of these things, they do cause permanent damage. I hope it's not true with you, Anthony. Do you have any idea how this could have happened? I mean, how did they get it to you?
Well, yeah, who gave it turns out, initially we thought that because I was touching all of the equipment that we had found up there on the top of the mesa, and again, this is the middle of nowhere, up there in Dulce, New Mexico, up at the top of the mesa. It took literally 2 hours to get up to the top. You know, I received a few emails from people thinking, you know, hey, you know, you must be full of it because that area is so small. You don't understand. It literally takes an hour and a half to 2 hours to get up to the top of the Mesa, the plateau near the radio towers, depending on which direction you're coming from. And it took us nearly an hour and 50 minutes to get up there. And when we finally got up to the top, I guess when we were 1,600 feet away from a BLM fence that was, you know, near the radio towers, that's when I had discovered those steel grade, you know, metal shipping containers or military. And you saw the pictures.
Yeah.
It said U.S. government property on them. And I was touching those things. And I come to learn later that Rick Prestel of MUFON in Sacramento, he had also touched them as well. I didn't know that he had touched them at the time, but he's since come forward and told me, you know what, Anthony, I actually handled the one that was over by the water source, not under the tree, but by the water source. So he touched one of them. Nothing happened to him. So we thought that that's what, that I, by touching them, I had come in contact with something, you know. But, you know, Gabe Valdez, who had spent so many years working up there before he passed away recently, had told me when I met him, do not ever touch any of the mutilated cattle that you find there. Definitely no government equipment, nothing. Don't touch it without wearing protective gear like gloves. And I did not heed his advice. I touched the container, and I thought that's what got me sick. But it wasn't until the following morning when I was at a restaurant having breakfast when I realized I made a connection that somebody had given me something at that restaurant. And I called the restaurant with a family who knows the people that work there, and they verified that the person I identified, there's no such person that works there. That's when this Australian intelligence officer came forth and told me that he asked me to describe to him what this person looked like, and I told him she was very attractive. You know, she wasn't American Indian or Spanish from the area. She had olive colored skin. She was a brunette, and I says it almost appeared as if she was Eurasian, which meaning half European, half Asian. She had this very, very beautiful woman, but there was something strange about her. There was something not quite right. Number one, she was just far too attractive to be working in this facility. It just was out of place. And he said to me, he was absolutely positive that that woman was a manufactured product. She wasn't even human.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they told me. And that shocked me to my core, because I never even thought of that.
Anthony, as you know, a lot of our listeners are pretty savvy. I got an email here when they found out what you were going to be on. They wanted to know if you thought that the White Mountain Range up in Colorado is connected to Dulce.
I do believe that. As a matter of fact, I also believe that the southern area of Colorado, the San Luis Valley, also has connectors to the Dulce hub, and then extending all the way up to Denver International, and then westward out to Edwards.
Anthony, in our discussions off the air, it seems that you believe there's a group of people actually pushing for nuclear war.
You know, that is the whole subject of what I'm writing about right now in Project Leonid. There seems to be a lot of confusion between the New World Order and getting it right on exactly who they are. You have some great lecturers out there like David Icke, and then you have some researchers out there like John Rhodes, and they talk about reptilians. I just wrote an article for Intrepid Magazine, which is out right now. If you go to intrepidmag.com, you can get that article. And essentially, the name of the article, by the way, is Reptilians Unmasking the Grand Deception. And I talk about the New World Order inside of that. Now, I'm not saying that the New World Order is made up of reptilians, and I'm not saying that they're covered in scales and that they look like snakes. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm talking about how throughout, you know, antiquity, you know, or within, you know, humanity, this, the chronology of humanity, how we have been, we make that the reference to the term reptilian simply because it was selected by earlier humans to describe what we believe are, you know, those that are different from us, and how, you know, and when I say difference, based on my research and based on conversations that I had, you know, interviews with people like the Colonel, who I interviewed for UFO Highway, and my other source, Trinity, who's a whistleblower who worked at Lockheed Martin, and who has spoken to some of these Chinese defectors, the people that David Icke seems to be talking about with respect to reptilians, calling them reptilians, they're not snake people. These are the people that early humans, recognized. They recognized their aggressiveness, their invasive ways, their need to control, and their secrecy dominated by perverse rituals using humans as sacrificial objects. That's why they call them reptilians, because, you know, when you analyze that and you look back at observations that they made, it becomes quite clear why the correlation to the animal that instinctively frightens us the most, the serpent, was made. That's why we call them reptilians. Now, what I'm trying to tell people is that David Icke is absolutely right. John Rhodes is absolutely right. These guys are right. There is a group out there called reptilians. Are they snakes? No. I personally do not believe they have any type of reptilian DNA in part of their makeup. What I believe is that these are the alien-human hybrids that came from this progenitor race, which we've now identified as the Anunnaki, that Zachariah Sitchin talked about. The progenitor race, it is their descendants that have interbred with humans so that they could essentially survive here on Earth, and those are the people that are running the planet today. These are your elites. These are your Rothschilds, your Rockefellers, your Lees, your Halus, all your most dominant, wealthiest families on the planet running things today. They own the militaries, they own the governments. There's a pyramid structure that I'm going to be releasing at my website and in my book, Project Leonid, which shows you the true hierarchy of where these beings sit and how they relate to the financial structures, the military structures, and the government. And people are going to be shocked when they realize that the government is way down at the bottom of the pyramid. The government is being played by these alien hybrids, these alien-human hybrids.
Well, Anthony, what do you think is going to happen in 2012? Here we are 3 weeks almost to the end of the month now, and we're still here.
My belief for 2012 is that we're going to see an increased level of military actions coming out of both North Korea and China. You're going to see an emergence of this Project Leonid, which will, whether or not it's going to be called MetaShield, Leonid, I don't know, but you are going to hear about the announcement of a satellite defense system, a multifaceted satellite defense system developed developed by the United States, its allies, especially the Chinese, and what are the Japanese. And why the Japanese? Because they are deathly afraid of an invasion, any type of incursion from the Chinese, who are right next door. It's happened, you know, they just happen to be in a very dangerous location. The Taiwanese and the Japanese, I believe, are going to, make announcements, with respect to their allegiance to the United States and its Western allies, and for protection against the Chinese, who are being controlled by this New Order faction out of Hong Kong called the Lees. The gentleman's name is Li Ka-shing. He's the most wealthiest man in Asia. He is a New World Order Illuminati bloodline conspirator. His bloodline is of the Illuminati, and I'm going to talk about all of this in Project Leonid. So in 2012, I believe that's what's going to happen. They're also talking about a mass landing event at the end of 2012. Whether it's going to be a false flag event or a real event, I don't know, but I analyze that and I discuss that in Project Leonid, because that's what all of this hinges on, this mass landing event. And we have remarkable evidence from people who have worked inside of these vaults and these aerospace companies, who one of them who has passed away, the other one who was in hiding, who swore they saw documentation on this very matter.
Anthony Sanchez, we certainly, certainly appreciate you coming on with us and bringing us up to date, especially that information you got from the U.S. government, from their own documents about the nuclear activity there where Dulce is located, where the underground base supposedly is. And we look forward to hearing from you from atop the Mesa later in February. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin. Until next time, cheers.